This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I am your host. Happy Monday, everybody. Off to a brand new week. Michael Stickler joining us right at the top of the hour. Yes, I know normally we do things a little differently here on Mondays, but this was our opportunity to talk to Michael. He is a co-founder of Leadership Books. We've had him on before. Michael, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, John. How about you?
Doing great. Appreciate you joining us and making time for us today. This was an actual, not that every topic I'm, I'm always interested in the topics is what I should say. But this one in particular, Cliven Bundy, who I guess the way I've read it, he told his story to you. Then you went ahead and put that pen to paper and made it happen. And it's a very interesting story. I've always wondered what, his side of the story is. And question I have for you is, are we going to know that in the book now?
Absolutely. You may not agree with his position, but you're going to find out. In a well-researched 400-page book, you're going to find out what actually happened to Cliven Bundy, what the government had accused him of, what actually the evidence showed, why the judge dismissed the case, the criminal case against 18 of the 19 of the defendants, why the Ninth Circuit supported that dismissal and set Cliven Bundy and the Bundy 19 free.
And refresh my memory, Michael. I should have looked this up, but how many years ago did that happen?
So this goes back actually quite a ways back. Cliven started having troubles with the government as far back as 1992. But when the standoff, which he calls the protest, happened, it was in 2014.
Okay.
He actually was arrested in 2016 and was held for over 400 days.
Wow.
In federal prison.
Wow.
Until he got to his trial. And in the trial, I was there for the trial. The trial was supposed to last 2 years, and it only lasted 14 trial days. It was about 2 months long, but 14 days in front of the jury.
Okay.
Before the judge threw up her hands and said, what we're doing to this guy is wrong. And it's wrong in 16 different ways.
Wow.
It's wrong.
Wow.
And then dismiss the case. What the public thinks happened to Cliven Bundy, what the media has said about Cliven Bundy has very small truth to what actually happened to Cliven Bundy. And I'll be honest, I was right along with everybody else. I completely doubted him. I thought maybe he was a wackadoo, I thought lots of things about him, and mm-hmm. when I really dug into the things that he said, I was astounded.
And what I can remember, personally speaking, Michael, and again, I don't know his whole story other than what I had read back then, and again, given what I do daily, you try to read as many things from the non-mainstream media sources as possible, also being careful where those sources are at, as you know what I mean by that. And I guess where I have always kind of been, and I know you guys are sending me a book, I can't wait to read it, to be honest with you, because I do want to hear his whole side. I always felt like, is he 1,000% innocent? Well, is anyone? I mean, that's probably the first thing that always kind of comes into play is, is there any such thing as a innocent, sinless person? The answer is probably no. Although, did he do the things that necessary that would have created this whole atmosphere with the government that really he was blamed for? And I always thought all along that no. In fact, I always felt like we as taxpayers spent a wad of money on something we shouldn't have in the first place.
Yeah, just on the money, the budget for rounding up his cattle was roughly $4 million. They paid cowboys $997,000 to round up his cattle. They had an army of 200 federal and, it turns out, more than federal agents. They even brought in the L.A. SWAT team. They had a budget of $100 million for his trials, for all the trials. And we wasted all of that money on a guy who quite frankly, just stood his ground. He said, look, I have rights here, and I am not going to be pushed over and pushed away because the federal government wants a land that I have a grandfathered right to graze my cattle.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, what it all boiled down to is the fact that he was grazing cattle in a place that the feds basically said, you can't do this. He felt like, yes, I can, and he was standing his ground. Am I summing it up correctly?
Pretty closely. He's actually been grazing his cattle there. His family has been grazing cattle there on that same area of land, which is roughly 600,000 acres south of Mesquite, Nevada, for 157 years.
Okay. So it didn't come about some 5-10 years earlier. They'd been doing that for generations, plural.
Generations upon generations. And so he was actually grandfathered in even before the Bureau of Land Management even existed. He was grandfathered in to graze his cattle there, and he fought with them. He basically, like he does now, he had an arrangement where prior to them coming and gathering his cattle, he had an arrangement with the local sheriff, who's out of Las Vegas, Nevada, that any time the Bureau of Land Management made an approach to him, he was to call a sheriff's deputy, the Bureau of Land Management agent and Clive and Bundy would all talk about it. And that was how it was for 40 years.
So Michael, what changed that? What happened?
Excellent question. And I took a lot of research into why. So what happened was that if you remember during the Barack Obama administration, they had a big push for renewable energy. And in Southern Nevada, they were building solar panel farms, hundreds of thousands, well, really tens of thousands of acres of solar panel farms throughout Southern Nevada. And the difficulty is that the desert tortoise that lives in that area is under protection. And so in order to take the land for commercial purposes, they had to designate land somewhere else for the tortoises in perpetuity. They call it mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided, here's this old cowboy out here. Nobody cares about him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any money, so we're going to just push him over, and we're going to designate his land for the tortoises so that we can build all these solar panel farms.
And he
said, no, you're not going to do that to me. And it really started out very small. It was just the neighbors. When he had his protest, maybe 50 people showed up for the lunch hour, for the lunch hour or something. And it wasn't until the federal agency started escalating it did it turn into what it was. It's really quite amazing, all of the different turns and twists that happened in all of this, as the full weight of the government came down on a man who only owns 160 acres and has been out there since the 1940s, raising cattle and growing melons. That's what he does.
Amazing. I don't want to give all the book away, but I want folks to, go buy it and read it as well. And by the way, Leadership Books is one of the places to go and actually buy the book. And again, Michael is co-founder there, and we interview a lot of, all of you listening, a lot of the authors and folks of late, especially that you've heard us interviewing, come from Leadership Books. And Michael, appreciate all that you're doing along those lines as well. But when it comes to Cliven, I mean, how did this end? After the trial, it's dismissed. What's he doing now? What's life for Cliven like now?
So it's funny. I had somebody asked to interview him the other day, and Cliven doesn't want to be interviewed. He doesn't want the limelight. And he says, look, all I want to do is farm and ranch and play with my grandbabies, which I think the last count he had is like 64 grandchildren. And he says, you know, the government came to me. They came to my doorstep. I didn't want the limelight. I didn't want all of these things. And so what Cliven's doing now is he's growing melon. He raises a very interesting and tasty hybrid melon out there in the southern desert. The cattle are still on the same land
that
they were released to in 2014, back when this all happened. And he's just living a quiet life with he and Carol and his, you know, seeing his grandkids and working hard farming and ranching, because that's all he's ever wanted to do his whole life.
Interesting. So, and again, this I think this kind of goes without saying, the problem with these situations, and it's why I appreciate you in writing the book and really, you know, giving his side of the story, because really what I see happening in a lot of these situations is Cliven gets a lot of quote-unquote bad press. He's sort of painted out to be this lunatic in all of the mainstream media. That's what everybody then starts to think, that, well, this guy just went off. You know, he didn't like being, you know, he didn't like this, he didn't like that. And the fact that, you know, we as taxpayers own the land anyways, he's taking advantage of that, blah, 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 blah. That's what people kind of start to think, Michael. So in a way, people kind of side with the government over him, even though none of what I just said is true. That's what gets painted in the media. And no matter how it ends, unless somebody like you writes the story, the whole world thinks Cliven's a bad guy.
It's really true. And the guy's just a simple rancher. I mean, I felt that same way. I mean, I really did. I understand how people come to that conclusion, but until you dig a little deeper and find out the details. And you know what? He wasn't perfect in all of this. There's no script to these things.
Right.
And I addressed him. I mean, he made some unfortunate comments. I addressed him in the book. I asked his questions and reasonings of why that was said. I exhausted it, and he made, you know, at times he made big claims that I thought to myself, that can't be true. And then when I went and looked into it, it turned out that everything he said was true.
Wow.
And much, much more.
Wow, wow. Well, and, yeah, and again, I'll be the first to say that just because somebody, how do I want to say this, Michael? Just because somebody says something that may not be correct in the eyes of most, in fact, probably aren't correct in light of certain things that get said at times, doesn't take away from the, you know, the original sides of things, if you would. In other words, you know, he's been on this land some 160 years. He, in my opinion, had the right to continue to be there. And then all of a sudden the Fed comes along and decides they want to change the rules, which, by the way, that's typically what the Fed does. And so that's why, no offense, I'm always typically on the owner side versus the Fed side, because I just know how these guys play. They don't play by the rules, much to the probably the surprise of a lot of folks, not my listeners, but other listeners, you know, other folks out there probably think the Fed is always correct. And usually, Michael, it's the other way around. We continue to see that over and over again. And what I'm trying to get at is, just because somebody does something that we all may not agree with doesn't take away from what happened in the beginning and what got him there in the first place. Because had all that not happened, none of the rest of it would matter anyways.
Yeah, and people don't, as an example, he has been you know, positioned as an armed terrorist, and they all, and the federal government, the prosecutors kept pointing to these threat assessments that were done by various agencies in the federal government, but they would never produce them. And then only after the judge pressured them to produce them, it turned out that these threat assessments all said that they were no threat, that none of the Bundys were any threat. They said if you push them hard enough, one of the younger Bundy sons might punch you, but otherwise, and that, you know, that.
Well, and I just remember even you watching some of the footage that was on television back in the day, and different things along those lines. And I will say that honestly, this was a lot like, and I don't want to say it's exactly the same, because again, they were not one and the same. But what happened with Koresh, in a lot of ways, you know, isn't much different when it came to the mistakes that were made by the Fed. I mean, they push, and then wonder why things escalate the way they do. If the Feds handled things differently, maybe they wouldn't get to that point in the first place.
You know, and you're absolutely right. And what saved the day in the wash that day in Southern Nevada was the undersheriff of...
Yep.
Of Las Vegas, okay, the Las Vegas County Sheriffs came out and literally stood in between the federal agents and the protesters.
Yep,
and basically protected them with their bodies from being shot and made the feds retreat.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Michael, and not that I'm... I mean, I've been on air for quite some time, but I will tell you, and I've, you know, you know certain things, but you have to be reminded of them from time to time. And we all know, I talk about it on my program a lot, that sheriffs are elected for a reason, because they are, in actuality, the governing body, you know, legally speaking. You know, they are the law of that particular county, if you would. And that, you know, that particular moment in time for me was a really fresh reminder that, yeah, this is what sheriffs are supposed to do. A good sheriff acting on behalf of his citizenry or her citizenry will do exactly what those guys did there, because the feds are not the law of the land. The sheriff is.
Right. That's exactly right. And the sheriff did not a perfect job in this case, but a great job that saved, in my view, saved many lives. You know,
yeah, and you know, to your point, had some of that happened in the other situation I just mentioned, it may have turned out differently as well.
That's right. That's right. And at the very end, Sheriff Gillespie, I believe it was, is one of him or his under sheriff said, this was so dangerous that if a simple backfire on the highway above had happened, people would have died. And that's frightening.
It is. It is. Michael, I appreciate it. I know you had to joggle things around today to actually, you know, be with us today. I appreciate that very much. Leadershipbooks.com, folks, is the place to go get this book. I never mentioned the title of the book. I should have done that. Michael, I'll let you do that.
It's Clive and Bundy, American Patriot. Clive and Bundy, American Patriot. And actually, the easiest way to find it is to go to cliveandbundy.net. Cliveandbundy.net still lands on the Leadership Books page.
Okay.
It'll take you directly to getting this book.
I'm adding that to my notes as we speak, so our producer, Ann, can get that up on our website later tonight to make that even easier for our folks as well. Michael, again, I appreciate it very much. A great job, and I look forward to the book showing up in my mailbox, and I will read it. And I appreciate it very much, sir.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
You betcha, Michael. Have a great evening. And, folks, that is the real story of what happened with Clive and Bundy. And I know we talked about some of that even back when that was going on. I hadn't been on air a long time when that was going on at the time, but I do remember bits and pieces of that, and I'm sure reading the book will even bring more of that up. And if anything, it's a reminder today of really where are we when it comes to our rights and the infringement upon them. And I think Clive and Bundy can really attest to what I just said a moment ago.
This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.